Now we have a chance to go to Iraq and speak with a U.S. Marine Corps Colonel, Richard Simcock. You're the commanding officer of the regimental combat team that's in Anbar province. I've got to ask you, Colonel Simcock, whether there really is a success story going on there, because officials here in Washington say, all right, there are problems in Diyala, Baghdad, the capital, obviously a big challenge, but if only things could be like Anbar, we could be really making progress in the country. What's so good there?
Well, it truly is a success story. And within AO Raleigh, the area of operation that we're responsible for, probably our greatest success is the city of Fallujah. City of Fallujah is a city of about 400,000. And the city of Fallujah is under the responsibility of the 2nd Iraqi Brigade. That brigade's made up of Kurds, Sunni, and Shia. Its commanding officer is a Shia. And he works shoulder to shoulder with a Sunni city chief of police, and they work for security within the city of Fallujah, supporting a duly elected mayor, and that mayor is supported by a city council of 20 members. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish here in AO Raleigh and throughout Anbar province. It is a success story. It is working. It's for and by the Iraqis, and they are making a tremendous success of it.
A lot of listeners in the U.S. may wonder what was the breakthrough, because certainly there had been a lot of trouble in Fallujah a couple of years ago. Was it the presence of U.S. forces? Was it money? Was it clever political skills in getting Iraqis to talk to each other?
There's a lot of reasons why we're having success, but I would say one of the biggest reasons is the Iraqis' realization that America is not trying to make Iraq the 51st state. I think the Iraqis came to that recognition right about the time of our elections back home in the November-December time frame. Iraqis didn't understand the concept of an army coming over to Iraq, removing a regime, and then trying to give back governance to the Iraqi people. That's something that they've never experienced. They've experienced a series of strong men where the strong take and the strong maintain. And they rule by an iron fist until someone stronger comes along. So when we came and removed Saddam Hussein and tried to establish a governance for them and by them, that was an alien concept. And I don't think that they really bought into that. And it took a couple years to actually prove to them that we weren't here to rule them. We were here to set them up to succeed. And they now realize that we will be leaving Iraq. And they are working very, very hard with us for the betterment of Iraq.
So, Colonel Simcock, are you arguing, in effect, for more time, for a need for U.S. forces with cooperative Iraqis to do this in other provinces?
Time is my greatest ally if I have it. It's also my greatest enemy if I don't receive it. Probably my biggest concern is, does the story of success that we're having over here in Iraq get back to the American people? Every morning I wake up, and because of the tape delay, I just happen to watch Lou Dobbs every morning. And every day he tells me how many people have been killed in Iraq. And it has a very negative connotation. And if I was back home, all I would know that Americans are dying over here. And there's much, much more to that. And I don't mean to trivialize the casualties that were given here, because the Americans that are over here are working very, very hard and risking life and limb in order to accomplish something that I think is very, very important to our nation. The Marine soldiers and sailors fully understand that the threat that they're fighting over here is probably as great a threat to our nation and our way of life than anything America has faced before. So yes, it's important. The Marines understand it. Time is something, if I'm given the time, I know that my Marines, soldiers and sailors will succeed over here.
Even if we're not saying that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11 or that anybody in Iraq was, your Marines do see a connection between America attacked on 9/11 and what you're doing now in Anbar province.
Yeah, I would say this. September 11th was an attack. We're not fighting September 11th. We're fighting the people that would do that kind of evil to the United States if we allowed it. If they could, they would deploy to the United States and repeat attacks just like September 11th or worse. And I've seen over here the evil that these people are capable of doing. And the Marines and the soldiers and sailors of the Regimental Combat Team 6 are holding the line against people who would take from us, who would take our constitutional rights, which they fear, and would tear up our Constitution and shackle us with something that they believe is the right way to do things, which is going backwards to the 7th century. And anyone that disagrees with the way they think, they have only one response to that, and that's to kill them. And all the Marines, sailors, and soldiers over here fully understand that.
Colonel Simcock, from what you can see, are the Iraqis benefiting from progress in Fallujah and other parts of Anbar province? Are there jobs? Is there electricity? Is there flowing water?
Without a doubt. And I'll go back just a little bit. You mentioned the city of Fallujah. 3 years ago, we ran an operation called Al-Fajr, where we nearly had to destroy the city in order to save it. And everyone that was in Fallujah at that time was either killed or captured because there was nothing in the city except enemy. In the 3 years since then, Fallujah has grown to a city of about 400,000. Its commerce is doing extremely well. As I told you, it has a working governance, a mayor and city council. Projects are going throughout the city in the form of sewage, hospitals, clinics. Great progress is being made in Fallujah. I often use Fallujah as an example, but by no means is Fallujah the only good news story. It's just the easy one for me to portray because of the size of it, and everyone seems to be familiar with Fallujah.
The big contrast to 3 years ago. Well, a final statement, a final question, if I may, because here in Washington, D.C., there is always a debate on whether U.S. forces should be given more time and whether the Iraqi government officials should be given more time or have some strict standards, guidelines, benchmarks that they have to meet. Are you offended in any way by the debate in Congress?
No, I'm not offended at all. That's our system. That's what we do. We bring people into debate to come to the best solution that's for America. And I'll tell you this real quick. The job that I had before I came here was was as the Marine Corps representative to the House of Representatives. And I got to see for myself during that three-year tour the strength of our system. I brought over 30 congressional delegations over to here to Iraq so that they could see for themselves. Almost every one of those trips, regardless of what the opinion they brought over here, once they got the opportunity to see for themselves the progress that we're making in Iraq, they brought that knowledge back to them, and I think that has paid off tremendously. The problem is that when our leaders get back to Iraq, they get a lot of influences back in the United States that, let's just say, don't help them think clearly. And a lot of times they're pulled in many different directions. So yes, again, time is going to be an element that can work for me, or if I'm not allowed that time, it's going to work against me.
U.S. Marine Corps Colonel Richard Simcock, as you heard, commander of Marines, soldiers, and Navy personnel in Anbar province. You've been there since late January on this tour. Colonel Simcock, take care, and thanks very much.
Thanks very much for talking to me today.